Hello, welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. We've got a bit of Shaka Hislop, Stevie Nicol with much better hair, and Gab Marcotti with still a lot of hair, joining us a little later on in the show. We'll start, though, with Friday action in the Bundesliga. Freiburg taking on Bayer Leverkusen. Bayer Leverkusen winning this one by 1-0. Kai Havertz, the only goal of the game. It means that Bayer Leverkusen, after a rough week, move above Leipzig momentarily in the table, 1 point clear of their rivals. Let's welcome in, shall we, Frank Leboeuf and Julian Laurent to discuss this game. And thank goodness, boys, for Kai Havertz, Frank, because otherwise we wouldn't have much to talk about.
Yeah, true. Well, we have one action, I think, from Freiburg at the end of the first half. They should have scored. And I don't know why, you know, Freiburg decided to play from the 80th minute and not before, because they put Leverkusen really in danger when they decided to finally try to get some actions. And otherwise, yeah, it was quite a boring game. But Leverkusen did the job. I mean, they had most of the time the possession of the ball. They did well. Havertz scored a goal. And they managed very well the whole 90 minutes. It's mostly Freiburg who was, let's say, sleeping for like 80 minutes. It's a good win for Leverkusen, because after the Wolfsburg game and when they lost 4-1, it's a good reaction, yeah. And now they are third in the league, so it's good for them.
Since I've known you, Frank, you've always been anti-Freiburg. I still don't quite get it. Jules, you look at this game, and Kai Havertz will once again steal the headlines, 5-7 now, for the youngsters. And it's fascinating, isn't it? Because the Bundesliga is the only league going on at the moment. His stock is rising by the day.
Yes, you're right. And in a game like this, where his team hardly created anything, where he hardly didn't get any good position in the box with the ball, he had one chance and he buried it. And if you think that he's not an actual proper striker, you know, that was not his position. He plays as a false number nine now, but he was never an in and out striker, a finisher, and yet he's able to have that degree of efficiency in his game now. He learns so quickly, clearly, in his movement, in his finishing as well. He's so clinical when he wants to be. And Leon Bailey with a lovely assist. Bailey is such a frustrating player, because there was, in the first half especially, he had the ball a lot on the left-hand side, and maybe four crosses out of five are poor. The decision-making is poor, and yet he pops out at some point and created that chance with a wonderful through ball for Havertz that finished it so well. But I was a bit disappointed by the way Leverkusen played in that game, the performance, although Peter Bosz had to make some changes, and I understand that because of all the games they've been playing in a quick amount of time, but I still expect them to do far more better than that.
Havertz going to go to Bayern in the summer. Sorry, Jules. Jules.
I think that's the idea. And he said it after the Mönchengladbach game as well, where again he had an excellent game. The only issue I have, and I think everybody has, and we mentioned it on the show already a lot, is that there's a value that he has, obviously, because he's so young. He's 20 and he's so talented. But right now, I'm not sure many clubs can pay the amount that Leverkusen would want for him, and that the amount that he's worth, really, which is 100 million euros easily. And would Leverkusen sell for 60 million, 70 million? Is someone ready to put that money down right now in the current context for a player like him? I'm not sure. That's the only thing.
Frank, it's a tradition, isn't it? After every Bayer Leverkusen, I ask you about him and how much you like him.
Yeah, I really like him, and I talked about on the show about him, and he's a great player. But I would say that he's 20. We just discovered him, and it's lots of money. And I'm not sure any club in Europe will be ready after that pandemic to put that money down. So maybe Leverkusen will have to put a price less, you know, less expensive, and see if Havertz can please some clubs. But otherwise, 400 million, I don't think he's going to leave, even if he's. He has a future for sure, and he's a fantastic player. I don't know really that his level.
Right then, let's take a look, shall we, at the rest of the fixtures coming up, particularly on Saturday. Hertha Berlin taking on Augsburg. You've got Mainz against Hoffenheim. Schalke play host to Werder Bremen. Eintracht Frankfurt take on Wolfsburg. And it's Bayern Munich against Fortuna Düsseldorf. Considering there's over 30 points between these two sides, I don't think there's any point in previewing this game in too much detail. So I asked you boys this for a bit of a special bet, an accumulator, if you like, within this game. Frank, I want to start with you. You've gone Lewandowski to score two goals. Bayern Munich overall to score more than three. Fortuna Düsseldorf won't score a single goal. 13-5. The odds that you get on that, and I imagine you're rather confident with that bet, Frank.
I am, otherwise I wouldn't give you the numbers, but I think it's
what
game
numbers
over,
do you disagree with, Frank? You came up with the numbers.
No. I don't disagree with any number. I think I'm going to win lots of money with Lewandowski scoring two goals and with a clean sheet and with more than 3-0 for Bayern Munich. It's a very good bet. I'm very good at it. And because we all know that Bayern Munich is relieved. They already gotten the championship. I don't think Dortmund's going to be back. So I think they're going to hammer the Düsseldorf. It's going to be very hard for them.
Meanwhile, Jules, you're all about Serge Gnabry. He's going to score in both halves. Bayern again to get more than three goals. Again, Fortuna Düsseldorf to score nothing. A little bit better odds because it's Gnabry. 19-2, Jules.
If you want to make the money, just follow the tips. Really, that's all I can say. Serge will be the star of the game tomorrow. He will be the star. He played well against Dortmund. They've got that momentum. He's got that momentum, the confidence. And I think he will easily score at least one goal in each half.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Just a reminder, ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow to see if any of these fools have got the bets right. My bet is a big no. On the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast, Borussia Dortmund's Thomas Delaney joined them and he talked about the winning mentality that Bayern have.
The feeling of a team that even when they don't play good, they still win and they know they're going to win. And we as a club and team lack that because that only comes from winning. And of course, Bayern is now, they have, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think seven championships in a row.
Yeah,
you know, that creates a mentality and a culture that just creates a crazy strong fundament for every game.
You're getting really close to winning that title to go further in the Champions League. What was missing a bit? Apart from maybe the mentality, as you said, of having that winning confidence.
Well, the biggest obstacle is Bayern for sure. You know, we've played two decent seasons. Last year was for the most part amazing, and yet we didn't clutch it. But honestly, it's difficult to say what lacks. When I talk about experience, it's not about age. It's about knowing how to win, and that only comes from winning.
Well, let's welcome Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol into the show to reflect on those comments. Stevie, I've got to start with you because it makes me think about that winning side, that winning mentality that your team of Liverpool in the 80s must have had.
Yeah, and unfortunately Delaney's 100% right. It does only come with winning, but as a young player it comes with playing with guys that have won before. So if there was one thing I didn't like about what he said, I agreed with everything he said. The one thing I didn't like about what he said was actually admitting to it and basically saying that they don't know how to win. Now, you may think that, but you can't come out in the open and say that because I think you're disrespecting everybody else. You know, if you talk to Haaland, he'll think he's a winner. He'll think that he can go and win every time he steps on the field. But when Delaney says that, every single time they're going to play against Bayern, it's going to be brought up. It's going to be thrown at them. And then every time they get beat, it's going to be thrown in the face again. Regardless of how well they play, if they lose, it'll be, well, you go into the game expecting to lose. So I agree with what he says. It only comes with winning or being in a winning culture, but you don't see it.
Two defeatists, Shaka, for you?
In a sense, yes, but the truth is he's just being honest. And I think he makes a point when saying that Bayern Munich have a culture of winning. And that culture of winning comes from a lot more than just who you're able to put out on the park. It comes from everybody in the boardroom, from the top all the way down to the tea lady, as they used to say in English football. That's what they do, week in, week out. Counter that with what I feel is Dortmund's culture, which is young, exciting, fast-paced, which gets you good results, gets you excited football, but ultimately doesn't get you the consistency that having that winning mentality and that winning structure does.
Did that make a difference in your Newcastle run, Shaq?
I think it did, ultimately in the end. And listen, it was a few weeks ago we were talking about the Keegan meltdown and the mind games that Alex Ferguson was able to play so successfully. He was able to do that because of who Manchester United were, how they'd done this previously, their experience in doing it. And for us, it was our first time in that kind of a scenario. And we just didn't know how to handle it. And then in the end, I think what also worked against Newcastle, certainly in the long run, is we didn't maintain what we had. We didn't build on good, we take things apart and put it back together again. But every successful team, every successful campaign or era is built on a little bit of heartbreak early on. Look at City and their struggles early on. Even if you want to look at Liverpool under Jurgen Klopp and their struggles, and look how good they are now, you have to endure that if you want to ultimately be successful.
We've obviously talked a lot about this game over the last few days, but maybe a point that we haven't really brought up is just the fact that Bayern are richer and they can afford better players, Stevie. As much as you can put winning mentality, this, that and the other, surely just the fact of it is Bayern have got the biggest wage bill in Germany. They built this squad of great world-class players, and that's it.
Well, it takes money to be able to go and bring in those players to start with, but when you can go and bring in a quality of player or a group of players and keep the base together for 4, 5, 6 years and keep adding to it, that's how you end up being Bayern. You know, Borussia Dortmund, it seems every couple of years are in transition. They've got new players, they sell players on. So it becomes almost impossible to build the kind of culture that Bayern have, because Bayern's not about wanting to go and sell players. Bayern are about bringing the best players in, keeping a real squad and a real base together for a number of years so that they can be successful every single year. Dortmund are not built that way. And when you're not built a certain way, then you shouldn't be surprised that you don't have a culture of just turning up and winning. And that's what Dortmund are. They're a team that changes too much too often, with the personnel in particular. And so with that, then you'll have probably streaks, because that's what they do. They have streaks of brilliance, and then they drop off, and then they come again, and then they drop off. And whilst their model is what it is right now, that will continue to happen, and Bayern's, it will stay the same and keep winning.
Thank you very much, gents. Just a reminder, you can hear that interview in its entirety. Go over to our podcast page and download the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We've talked a lot, haven't we, about the possibility of Lautaro Martinez moving from Inter to Barcelona. Well, this is what Inter sporting director Piero Azzillo had to say about the proposed transfer. There's only one way The Martinez can be taken away from Inter, and that's the payment of his release clause. Many clubs have got in touch with us for him. The pushiest with whom we have a friendly and cordial relationship have been Barcelona. Well, let's welcome Frank LaBeouf is still with us, Julien Laurent and Gab Marcotti. Now, Gab and Jules, you made me chuckle on your show. I was listening to it yesterday, and you were just talking about the fact that Barcelona are basically trying to get rid of all their junk to Inter, and they're just having none of it. Gab.
Yeah, and, you know, frankly, it's becoming a little bit offensive. And look, I don't know how much is Barcelona, how much is the Catalan media. But it's like, oh, look, we have, let's see, which overpaid older players do we have who the manager doesn't like? Okay, Rakitic. Hey, look, let's put him in the deal. Oh, Semedo's not as good as we thought he was going to be. Let's stick him in the deal. Oh, Vidal, of course, with a stupid haircut. Dembele always gets hurt. Let's just chuck all these guys into prospective deals where we swap them for Lautaro. And, you know, I'm glad Inter, for once, are growing a backbone. Piero Zito have been very critical of him in the past. But at least now he's coming up and he's being honest and he's being direct. The guy has a release clause. If you want him, pay the release clause. The only other way this deal will be done is you either stick players in there who Inter might actually want. Hey, Barcelona, why don't you put Frankie de Jong in there? How about that? That's a nice idea, isn't it? Rather than all this nonsense that you're trying to cart away. Inter aren't there to go and cart away your rubbish. That's not the purpose of this club. The only other way that this deal gets done is if Lautaro comes out and threatens to go on strike and says, no, let me go now, I refuse to play for you. But, you know, that's the kind of crap that other players have pulled in the past. There's been no indication that Lautaro's going to do that. Lautaro's going to honor his contract, as far as we know, as of now. So the simple truth of the matter is, they either find the cash somewhere, or this deal's not going to happen.
And, Jules, something that you mentioned on the podcast is this is similar to what they tried to pull with Neymar.
Exactly. We're almost a year on and it's the same rubbish that we get. I mean, I think it's embarrassing. If you're Barcelona and one of the biggest clubs in the world, this is embarrassing. It's either you have the money and you pay the release clause. That's what release clause are made for. And they know it because in Spain, that's what they do for every single player. You've got a release clause. You have the money. You can afford it. You pay it. The players is yours. If you don't have it, if you can't afford it, you can't do it. Don't try to do like rubbish deals like that. Do I go to my Lamborghini local shop and go down and say, can I buy an Aventador? I give you $50,000 and my old car and my wife's car and my three children bicycles. Can we make a deal? No, they won't do the deal. I can't buy a Lamborghini like this. You can't buy Lautaro if you don't have the money to pay for his release clause. It's very simple.
And the problem, the knock-on effect of all of this, Frank, has got to be all of these players that Gab mentioned, your likes of Vidal and Rakitic, who are still likely going to be there at the start of the season, yet know that the club have tried to use them as pawns in deals.
Yeah, that's a problem, you know, because you have to respect, you know, you made a choice when you bought the players that you want to get rid of, and you're not respecting them, saying that they're rubbish now, they don't want them anymore. So you have to make sure that they're going to be in the right mood to go back to the training ground and try to train, especially if they're going to stay. So you have to make sure that what you stand for your acts, and you take full responsibility for them. And it's not what Barcelona is doing right now. It's not treating the people that they hired properly, I think, and they don't treat the people that dealing with properly as well. So it's not the standard that they used to show.
How will this end, Gab?
Well, first you're going to make a bold prediction. Two guys who haven't been linked with Inter Milan yet in this deal are Coutinho and Martin Braithwaite. I guarantee you in the next couple of weeks, we'll see their names popping up and saying, hey, you want these guys too? Look, I think it's going to end either with Barcelona freeing up cash by selling somebody, but that's really unlikely given the conditions in the market right now, or... You know, it's a long road between now and when the market reopens. You know, we're talking, what, 3 months from now, maybe more than that. A lot of things could happen between now and then. Maybe Barcelona will find some money. Maybe Lautaro is going to come out because, you know, Uncle Lionel said, oh, come join me. Who knows? You know, there's a lot of stuff that can happen. But I think what's evident, though, is that's going to be after that release clause expires. And so they're going to have to deal with Inter, but they're going to have to deal with Inter, you know, I said, face to face in a respectful way. Just because Inter have made so many stupid deals in the past doesn't mean they have to make another one.
Start of next season, is he at Barcelona, Jules?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would say yes, because I think, like Gab said, they've got enough time ahead of them to try to find a solution. They can sell players, even if it won't be at the value that those players are maybe worth it because of the current situation. But I do think that he will be the only player they sign this summer.
Meanwhile, Jules, big developments regarding Mauro Icardi and him staying at PSG.
Yes, you're right, Dan. Reports in Italy are saying that the deal is done now, 50 million euros plus 7 in bonuses. I'm waiting confirmation, but we wrote at the beginning of the week on ESPN FC that there was a big breakthrough made in the negotiation last weekend with Wanda Nara, Icardi's wife and agent, and the two clubs. PSG really wanted to sign him, but at a lower price than the buyout clause that they had when they took him on loan last summer. And Inter wanted to sell him, and they understood that they could not ask for the same price as they quoted first before the pandemic. So I think everybody, in a very good atmosphere, made that deal happen. And Icardi, I think for the next 4 years, that was the contract that he was offered by Paris, would be a Parisian.
If this goes through, Frank, does it make sense to you?
It does. It does, because Icardi showed good things, especially at the beginning. But I think he's definitely a good player and fits the club very well and wants to stay. I think it's good for him. It's a relief, in fact, where we all know that it was pretty difficult with Inter when he had to leave for Paris Saint-Germain. And now he knows what he has to do. He has to keep on working very hard to please the fans, as he did when he first came.
Jules, with your PSG fanboy hat on, are you happy with this?
I'm happy with the deal. I think Icardi is a top striker, top player. We saw the first half of the season how efficient he was and clinical he was. I think then it got a bit more difficult for him, simply because he didn't have a preseason at Inter. He arrived and played a lot straight away in Paris, and I think then he dipped physically. That's what happened, and that's why he scored less in the second half of the season. But I think you won't get a striker of this caliber at that price, and PSG got a very good deal if you think about how much the buyout clause was before the pandemic and how much they got Icardi for. I think Leonardo did a great job there, and Icardi, if maybe at times was not so sure about continuing in Paris, I think he's very happy now. He knows that Neymar and Mbappe will still be there next season, that the team will be very competitive, and there is still the Champions League to play as well. And by negotiating that deal now, that means that for sure Icardi will still be there in August to continue the Champions League for PSG.
Thank you very much, boys. Just a reminder, for all your latest transfer news, go over to the website and click on Transfer Talk. Just to recap what we've seen happen over the last 24 hours when it comes to the return of action in Europe. It was confirmed La Liga set to return on June the 11th. And boy, what a schedule Spain have set out. There will be a game every single day for 32 matches. Meanwhile, Coppa Italia semi-finals have been scheduled for June the 13th. The final will be held 4 days later on June the 17th. Now, all of that a prelude to Serie A, which is set to return on June the 20th. Meanwhile, in England, the FA Cup final is scheduled now for August 1st. Now, when all of this action returns, it's going to be interesting to see what they do about a lack of crowd. Of course, over the last couple of match days in Germany, more and more viewers are experiencing the false crowd noise being pumped in, and it seems to have been received well. A lot of people are asking, well, how is this actually done? Tom Hamilton's written about it over on the website. Be sure to check that out. But there are, of course, are still some who don't like the noise, including our very own Yanong Fjortov.
But it's fake. It's fake. You can't make... Isn't it like you're watching a film on German television and Clint Eastwood is speaking German? You can't have sound in a stadium. What is that about?
Well, that brings us to the end of today's edition. Jan just does not like the fake fans. I like them. I think it's good. Anyway, I don't care. Thank you very much to everyone who's been on. Thank you very much to Gab, to Jules, to Frank, to Stevie, and to Shaka. A busy weekend, of course, in the Bundesliga. Keep it right here for all the latest reactions to those matches. Until next time, goodbye.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Napa Know How.
Father's Day knickknacks, that funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Stevie Nicol here and Gab Marcotti on his wedding anniversary. He's missing out on an evening with his wife to celebrate 16 years of marriage to spend it with us, Gab. What a moment. And it starts off with an insulting tweet against you. Who advised Gab to wear that baseball cap? That was, of course, on your podcast, Gab. It has received quite a few critics.
Well, if you really must know the backstory behind it, it was the fact that I was up extremely late the night before. It was the fact that Julian Lorenz was extremely late in sending me some things I needed to do for the podcast. And so, therefore, I didn't have the opportunity to shower. And because we were on day 72 of the lockdown, you know what? Hair grows. Hair grows, and hair grows big. And so I decided, let me go and cover it up with a vintage, I think it was my Metro Stars baseball cap. But then, of course, I took it off because our guest, Thomas Delaney, his hair has also grown during the lockdown. And by the way, in case you wonder, no, I'm not going to let a family member go and cut my hair. That would be unprofessional.
Stevie, meanwhile, has sorted his hair out a little bit.
Hold on. Hey, hold on a minute. Why don't you just stick your head under the tap? You don't have to have a full bloody shower.
Why
stick your head under the tap?
Because my head doesn't fit in the sink under the tap. I don't know how big your taps are in your house. My sinks aren't big enough. I can't insert my head under the tap and open it.
Have you got a shower?
Yes, yes. In fact, I have multiple showers.
Well, stick your head under the shower for 10 seconds. That's all you got to do. Instead of make yourself look daft.
Meanwhile, Stevie, your hair seems to have sorted out. Someone described you as the Ginger Fonz with that kind of slip back look.
I'll tell you what, I've got to be happy with that, considering some of the other stuff I've been called.
Well, anything is an improvement. Right, let's get on with some questions, shall we? With the Bundesliga set to finish in June, will Bayern and Leipzig be at a disadvantage for the Champions League set to begin in August? They will be idle for a month, especially considering La Liga, Serie A and the Premier League not concluding their campaign till late July, Stevie.
100%. You know, if all the other sides will be in the middle of a regular game, then there's no way that it's not going to affect Bayern and Leipzig. They will again go back to being rusty because they won't have had any real competition, whereas the other sides, they'll be in the middle of competition and we'll be ready to put up a good showing in a Champions League game regardless of the opposition. So, yeah, no question, the German sides will certainly not benefit from a break.
Gab, does the fact that Conte is willing to sell both Mauro Icardi and Lautaro Martinez prove just how good a striker Lukaku actually is?
Sorry, who said he's willing to sell Lautaro Martinez? Who?
Apart from Simon, does.
The man has a release clause in his contract. The club have said, we don't want to sell him, and the only way you sell him is if you can match his release clause, and then there's nothing we can do about it, and he decides he wants to go. He does not want to sell Lautaro Martinez. He would love to sell Mauro Icardi, yes. But I know the question's really about Lukaku, so I will answer that. Conte absolutely loves Lukaku. He loves his movement. He loves his intelligence. He loves the fact that he does exactly what Conte asks of him, which is what Conte generally demands from his strikers. So, no, I mean, I think Lukaku's been phenomenal this season, not just on the pitch, off it as well. And he's been a tremendous asset to Inter. And I think probably, you know, playing some of the best football of his career.
Take that, Stevie.
Yeah, great. Aye, well done, Lukaku. Hey, good on you, son. Magic, hey. Yeah. All the big sides are in the corner waiting to sign you again. Not.
Gab, who was better in their prime, Cafu or Zanetti?
Ooh. I mean, I think Javier Zanetti, I would lean towards him because I think he was a better rounded player. Obviously, he's also, you know, he played right back, he played left back, he played in midfield. He's had many, many more things going on. For a one-off game, I mean, the way Cafu would just take off and accelerate up the sideline was just absolutely stunning. And I'm sitting on the fence here a little bit. I will lean Zanetti, but only just. Two phenomenal right backs.
Stephen?
Listen, if you've got to put your mortgage on it, or you've got to put your life on any of the two of them, you're putting it on Zanetti. Yes, Cafu could be devastating in spells, but the more rounded player and the guy you're going to have, the guy who's going to be more consistent over a period of time, absolutely is going to be Zanetti.
Right, let's get to the big talking point. Today is Biscuit Day. For those in America, a biscuit is a cookie, not a scone. Have either of you had an Aussie biscuit called a Tim Tam? And what is your favourite biscuit? Gab?
I don't particularly have a favourite biscuit. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but if you are going to push me, there are these Italian biscuits called Baci di Dama, which are they're kind of like, so there's like a layer of chocolate in between, and one side is chocolate and the other side is, I guess, it's not chocolate. And yes, they're exquisite when properly done.
Right, Stevie, biscuits.
Biscuits, yeah. Never had a Tim Tam, never even heard of them until you said. I like a chocolate biscuit. In fact, just before I came on here, I had a cup of tea and two chocolate digestives, which, as you know, Dan, are beautiful. You just get them, you dip them in your tea, and then you get onto it. But that's not my most favourite. Right now, my favourite is an orange Kit Kat. Absolutely dynamite.
Well, it's not a biscuit, is it? That's a chocolate bar.
A Kit Kat? No, it's not. It's a chocolate biscuit.
Yeah, but it's not a biscuit.
Says the man. Hold on. Says the man trying to tell American viewers that it's a biscuit. It's not a cookie or a scone.
I didn't read it. I was just reading the tweet. I was reading Peter's tweet. Right. I'm not patronising the Americans. I was just reading the tweet verbatim. That's all I have is a parrot. And you cannot claim a Kit Kat is a biscuit.
Of course it's a biscuit. What is it then?
It's a candy bar. It's candy.
It's not a candy. Listen to you, candy. You mean a chocolate bar?
What? Yes, it's not a
biscuit. It's a chocolate... It is a chocolate biscuit. I'll tell you what then. What's an orange club then? Is that a candy bar as well?
What is a what, sorry?
An orange club. What's that?
An orange club's a chocolate bar.
Oh, shit.
If I may weigh in here, Dan.
I'll tell you what.
Yes, guys.
A biscuit.
If the majority of the bar is chocolate, then it's a chocolate bar. If the majority of the bar is biscuit, as is the case with an orange club bar, or indeed, arguably, with a Kit Kat, given the wafer component, then I can see where Stevie's coming from.
Here, Gab. I couldn't have put it any better myself. Take that. Stick that in your pipe.
Oh, you needed Gab to hold your hand and complete your argument.
I was actually just going to say that.
Yeah, of course.
A chocolate bar is something that's just completely chocolate. Other than that... It's a biscuit.
It's a candy.
Candy. How long have you been here? 10 minutes.
Gab, do you really think Messi and Argentina have a chance to win the World Cup in 2022 in Qatar? Please reply, Dan. I'm on my knees, man. Well, you get up now. Cavs going to reply?
Of course they have a chance. I mean, imagine Messi with Lautaro Martinez up front, his teammate from Barcelona. No, just kidding. Look, people need to realize that to get to a World Cup final, to have a chance to win it, you have to get hot at the right time. It helps if you have superstars. It's not always the most dominant team. If you look at the phenomenal job Croatia did in reaching the World Cup final in Russia, you know, you can see that how many actual super Messi caliber superstars did they have? None. How many notch below Messi superstars did they have? You know, they had a couple, obviously Modric and Rakitic didn't have the best of tournaments, but you had very good players who could form a supporting cast, and they all came together, and some of the less great players played out of their skin, and that's how they got into the final, and they had great coaching and whatever. I see no reason why Argentina, who, you know, is, we would reasonably expect to be deeper than Croatia, can't do the same thing, get to the final and win it. So yes, don't worry. I mean, I'm not going to say they're favorites, but there's no reason that Argentina can't win it.
Who's more choosy when it comes to food, Gab or Stevie? Stevie, you'd admit, I believe, this is your area.
I will bow down to Gab's superior knowledge and taste buds. I think that's probably the best way to put it.
Stevie, how does Michael Owen compare to recent Liverpool strikers Torres, Suarez and Firmino? Who would you start with as your number nine in their prime?
I tell you, Torres in his prime takes a bit of beating. Wow. Ooh. I'm trying to think if I would take any of the other ones over Torres at his best, and I'm kind of struggling with that. I mean, no, I would take Torres. Yeah, absolutely. I would go with Torres.
Gab, who would you have out of that list at their prime?
I mean, prime Luis Suarez took some beating as well. For me, that is pretty much the call. I think you would probably go with Suarez, sort of best season Suarez, provided he doesn't go and bite anybody. I think he's probably a better rounded player than prime Torres, as devastating as prime Torres was and as devastating as prime Michael Owen was. With Firmino, obviously you get into a totally different galaxy in terms of, you know, he's not a scorer in the way the other guys were, but he does a lot of other things. If the question were, and I appreciate it's not, you could have any of those guys in their prime and you could drop them into Jurgen Klopp's team, who would you choose? You know what? You might still go with Firmino because of what he does and his importance to the team. But if you're talking as an abstract, as a one-off, for me, yeah, I think Suarez would just shade it over Torres.
Why does the show have such a hard time praising Cristiano Ronaldo, Stevie?
We've had this question before, and I'm not quite sure why that perception is there, because every time we're talking about Champions League games and every time we're talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, we all say the same thing. On the big stage, when it matters most, this guy rises above everybody else. I mean, I don't really understand where the negativity comes from. We all realise how fantastic he is. We all suggest that the two best players in the planet, and he's one of them. The argument is always, is it Messi or is it Ronaldo? So the fact that we're saying he's, and we all have a different opinion of who's one and who's two, but the fact that we're saying at the very worst this guy's the second best player on the planet, how is that being negative towards him? I don't remember being negative towards him. As far as a football player is concerned, listen, we've certainly criticised him, you know, when he was at Real Madrid, how it always seemed to be about him. But that's kind of an attitude we're talking about sometimes. As far as a footballer is concerned, no, not at all. He's absolutely fantastic. So CV, turn that, absolutely fantastic, turn that one into a negative.
Steve, that's a very long answer for what was a ridiculous tweet in the first place.
Well, I know, but we seem to get it quite a lot, though, which I find strange. It's actually quite annoying because we're... look at all the nice things I just said about him.
Okay. Right, final question. Last night, I had an Italian-style shepherd's pie made with polenta instead of potatoes and filled with mince and wild mushrooms. What are Stevie and Gab's thoughts on such a fusion of cuisines? Gab, what do you think of that?
Hey, I'm all for fusion. I'm all for, you know, taking basic concepts like a shepherd's pie and maybe fiddling with the ingredients. If you have high quality, fresh, local mushrooms, if you like polenta, and I appreciate it's an acquired taste, you know, why not? Go out and see if it works. I really have no problem with that because, you know, a lot of times if you have high quality, fresh ingredients, that kind of matters more than having the original ingredients if they're lower quality.
Steve, I'm sure you're about to say the same.
Absolute nonsense. Well, that's a mongrel shepherd's pie. That's what that is. Listen, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. How about that?
That's it, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Happy anniversary, Gab. Enjoy the rest of it, however long you have left. Not the marriage, the anniversary. And thank you very much to Stevie. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us.